and begin to read in verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by force, and the captains over the thousand, the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king, and of his sons with the officers, and with the mighty men, with all the valiant men under Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over all Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. And I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgment as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land. Watch, and leave it for an inheritance for your children forever, or for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Look at verse 20. "And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Rex Harrison, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Lord, we ask now to be preached
on
this building. Give us what we need, not what we want. In Jesus Christ, we lift it up. All the honor and the glory and the saints be heard.
Now, in this passage here, we are at the end of David's life. And here he's turning over his kingdom, his very throne that God had given him, to his son Solomon. And this account, we see that David, the man after God's own heart, had in his heart to build a house for the ark of God, where God could rest. But God said, because you're a man of war and have shed blood, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to let you gather all the materials, David. But I'm going to have your son build that house. And when he builds that house, it'll be the greatest house. And it'll be the greatest work. It's the first house that God's going to have upon this earth,
where the ark can rest and God Almighty can get some rest. I'd like to call your attention to verse 9. And God told, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, He tells His Son, He said, "Boy," He said, "know thou the God of thy fathers, and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind." He said in verse 20, "The Lord won't fail thee." He said, "Boy, if you're willing to do what God wants you to do, God won't fail thee. God won't forsake thee. You won't go home until the job is done if you're willing." "I'll help you," he said. Solomon, no doubt, we realize that he was probably wiser than his daddy. Wisest man in the Bible. Amen? But David knew God. He knew more than just statistics of the Bible. He knew more than just David's sling or the ark or the lion's den. David knew God Almighty.
Amen.
And if all you're getting is statistics, put them down in the trash and get a hold of God and know God. You'll get more done knowing God. I was down one day and I was reading the Bible here, and I got down there to verse 4, and I was kind of, you know how you are on Monday morning preachers, you all burned out. Someone said to me this afternoon, "You better slow down." No, you better slow down. You don't pay my cleaning bill, amen? My cleaning bill is as much as some of your car payments, amen? Do you worry about me slowing down? Amen. I'd love to go out in a heart attack just about the time you was getting right. Amen. But I was a little tired Monday and feeling sorry for myself, mully grubbing and crying in my grits. And I got down there to verse 4. And it said, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of Israel, my father, to make me king over Israel forever. For He had chosen Judah to be the ruler of the house of Judah and the house of my father and among the sons of my father." And these next three words stuck out to me. Look it. He liked me. I'm glad somebody does. I'm glad somebody likes me. And if it ain't you, I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. But God in heaven said, "Hey boy, hey Lance, if they don't like you, I like you. And I like you because the blood, the atonement of my Son. And I like you, boy." And you know, I wasn't mully grubbing no more. I wasn't complaining no more. Why, if God likes me, I don't care what goes on. Well, made a difference. Made a difference in David's life. Made a difference in my life. Can make a difference in yours. Now, the greatest thing you can do is know God. And the greatest thing you can do after that is serve God. With a perfect heart, he said. You know you can't serve God until you got a perfect heart. Amen? And you can't have a perfect heart until you know Him. So those things go together so we can realize that He likes us. And then that comes along so we'll get involved to build something for Him. David got all the materials. He had a perfect heart, a willing heart, gives the instructions down just like hens are getting. But the question says, are you willing not to do what you can do? If you're only willing to do what you can do, you'll never do nothing more. But are you willing to do what you can't do that God will help you get done? Are you willing? Are you willing? It's a big job. It's the first time in the Bible a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant is being made. It's a big job. It's a complicated job. There's a lot of labor going on. Are you willing? Well, he said he wouldn't fail you if you are. Amen. Blessed is the pastor that has willing people. Boy, I tell you, that'll keep you going, folks. If you're just a member of a church, get behind that preacher and do things that he doesn't do, so he doesn't have to do them. I mean, blessed is the preacher that's got people that'll clean the church and cut the money and take care of the problems besides the spiritual problems and be a blessing and say amen or oh me when he's a preacher. Blessed is the pastor that's got willing people. And blessed is the home that's willing to serve one another. Blessed is the home where the man loves his wife and treats her as Christ loved the church. Instead of like some cotton-picking pack mule. There's a fellow at our church got about 8 young'uns, 6 young'uns. He'll come in there, he'll be all slicked up, you know. He'll come in there, glory to God, hallelujah, how you doing this morning, praise the Lord. Shaking hands, I see his wife coming in. She's got 6 of them from about 10 down. She's got one in this arm, a diaper bag in this arm, a bottle bag in this arm, one dragging off this side of her dress, one dragging off that side of her dress. She's walking in like a pack mule. I said, brother, why don't you go down there and help that girl out once in a while instead of making her drag in the church? She's getting wore down. Ain't even going to get a blessing today. Well, praise her. Blessed is the home where the wife loves the husband. Blessed is the home where your husband's going to school and you don't nag and complain, and you're willing to let God send your husband where God wants to send him without the pressure of you ain't a-going. And then blessed is the Christian who's willing to serve God. Now in the old Bible, we see that God here is fixing to build himself through a man. He always used a man. But he's fixing to build himself a temple so he can find rest. He can be glorified. He can be magnified. And other people can see what he's done. Now in the new Bible, it's a little different. We don't have to bring a goat to church. We don't have to bring a bullock to church, a sacrifice. The sacrifice has been made and it's been accepted. Amen. So we come on those grounds. But as the big job in the old Bible was to build the temple, now God gives me and you blood-washed Christians, born-again Christians, an opportunity not to build one temple, but to build 3. And it has to be in the right order or it won't work. The first one is your life. The second one is your home. The third one is the church house. If you ain't doing nothing at home, church house ain't gonna be no good. If you ain't doing something in your own life, your home ain't gonna be no good. A church ain't any stronger than the members that it has in it. And a home ain't any stronger than what the parents are of that home. God gave me and you an opportunity to build our lives. Big work. Hard work. A lot of labor. But he's given the materials. He's got them all piled up for us. And he said, if you're willing, I won't fail thee. I won't forsake thee. I've got it all. If you seek me, you'll be found of me. And I won't let you go home until the good work that I started in you is completed. And the home, he says, if that home's messed up, if it's willing to work together underneath the authority of my Bible, I'll bless it. And he says to the church, if that church is willing to work together in unity, that I'll pour out the oil of God, the Holy Ghost of God, like I did on Aaron, and it'll come down and be a blessing. Now, wait a minute. Can God get any rest in your body? Or is he running all around trying to find out where you are all the time? I mean, you caused him misery? Or is he just kind of laying it back, piled up, taking it easy with you? How about your home? If Jesus come into your house tonight, you have to move anything around? Have to try to hide anything? Have to put it out in the back door until he left? How about the churches that you pastor or the churches that you go to? Ain't got to hide nothing, do you? God said, if we're willing. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that we're building a spiritual house. We're lively stones. We're bone of his body. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are in Christ. We're parts of the body, and the foot doesn't say to the head, I have no need of thee. When the foot hurts, the hand hurts. And when the arm hurts, the whole body hurts. But are you willing? 1 Chronicles chapter 29, look at verse 1. There ain't nobody on the face of the earth but born again people like you and I, blood washed, who are called by God to do a work like we're called to do. God don't call the lost to build their lives until they get saved. He lets them go on. God don't call the lost to fix up their homes. God don't call the lost to get together in unity and build a church house where God can get rest and God can get glory. He does it with me and you that's been saved. So we have an opportunity after we get saved to do something eternally for God. But you got to be willing. God Almighty chose us, the sons of David's sons, to build him a house. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been satisfied with my Christian life. I've never been satisfied with my prayer life. I've never been satisfied with reading my Bible. I've read my Bible now about 92 times. I've never been satisfied with only that little bit of times. I've been saved 21 years. I've never been satisfied. I'm kind of slack. I know I'm laying behind. I've never been satisfied. I've never been satisfied with being the pastor at my church. I want to be a better pastor. I've never been satisfied with being the preacher. I want to be a better preacher. I hear these other men preach. Boy, I want to preach. When I hear a preacher that can't preach, it makes me want to preach. When I hear a preacher that won't preach, it makes me want to preach. When I hear a preacher that can preach, it makes me want to preach. I've never been satisfied with my life. I've always wanted to be a good Christian. I've always wanted to be a good testimony. But I ain't always been willing. I always wanted my life to count for God. Amen! I really deep down inside want God to have full control. Oh, but this spirit and this flesh is contrary and they're fighting me every day. But I want to do it. I want to be. So God can get some rest. I don't know about you, but I always wanted my home to be a place where I could lock out the world and close the doors. And when you come in, it ain't all electrified like the preacher was talking about today. But God's in that home. And the center of our home is God. It's not fussing and fighting all the time. But it's God. It's where I love my wife and she loves me and we love our boy. That's what I want. I've always wanted that. Amen. I wanted to have a home where I could hide from the storms and escape from the brethren. Amen. I've asked him to put me in a different dispensation sometimes, but he hasn't listened. But I can crawl off into my house. I can close the doors and put Panzer in the living room and close the door. He's about 90 pounds. Put Max out the back door. He's about 95 pounds. And take Frau, my little puppy, and sit there and pet her till she falls asleep. And I can have the peace of God. I've always wanted the little church house that God's given me to be a place where people could come and get a blessing. About 11 years ago, we bought a house, $35,000 and 2.5 acres. Gutted the house, met in the house for a year, church did. Went down the hill just a little bit from about here to the back door, leveled it out, and built our own building. I've always wanted God to bless it. There's 84 Baptist churches in Burke County, just 2 independent Baptists. The other one, he ain't much. He kindly runs with these characters up here on 29. He started it. He meddled. I've always wanted our church to be a place where sinners could come and get saved. I always wanted our church to be a place where kids could come and enjoy themselves. I'm sick and tired of hearing how Mama threw her sunbonnet. And how Mama used to run and Papa used to run. I want to see my wife run and see your wife run and your wife shouting my voice out. I always wanted our place to be a place where Jesus was lifted up. See, the church is better than the social club. Church is better than the Moose Lodge. Church is better than the Mason Lodge or the Country Club or the Goodfellows or the Lions Club. The church is the greatest institution upon this earth. It's the church God's concerned about. But can your church get rest to God? Now you got to be willing. Nobody else upon this earth but me and you can do what we can do through the Spirit of God and God helping us. But the problem is, are you willing? Now notice in 29:1, he said down there that the work is great. He said, but God had chosen Solomon who is yet young and tender. He's young and tender. He's not a mighty man. You don't have to be great to be used by God. You ain't got to be smart to be used by God. You don't got to be anybody to be used by God. All you have to do is be willing. If God can use me, He can use anybody. When God found me, after I got out of Vietnam in 1969, I let my hair grow to 1975, and He found me with about $190 heroin addict a day, or every 2 days, spend about $190 every 2 days. I'm a heroin addict, and God found me like that. And I ain't never touched near a bit since then. Amen. I tried the methadone programs. They don't work. AA don't work. Jesus Christ works. And if God can bring me up out of a horrible pit, and if God Almighty can do that, He can do it for you. And He can use you. I used to come to these blowouts. They just started them when I was in school. And I'd kind of tag behind those preachers and try to ask them something. And they're snubbing me. Like, get away, fly. Now I see them at the meetings. And they're coming around trying to talk to me. But I don't snub them. You know why? Say, oh, trying to pour some coals on their head. No. I'd love to do that. I see, because they snubbed me, God put them on a shelf. And if I snub them, it won't be long. I'll be right up there with them. Boys, I ain't any better than you. You ain't any better than me. We all stand level at the cross of Calvary tonight. Just be willing. Why? Well, the work's great, he said. Look it down there in verse 1. I love it. Verse 29. He said, the work is great, watch. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Hey, they're building the temple. But it ain't for man. It's for the Lord God. And we're building 3 temples. We're building our lives. We're building our homes. And we're building the meeting house. But it ain't for us. This nice place here, this ain't for us. So, oh yeah, it is. I've been putting money in it. Thank God you have. Amen. But it ain't for us. We are to get no glory here. We're to get no majesty here. This house, meeting house, is built for the glory of Jesus Christ. My home is not my own. It's for the glory of God. Look, my church done me dirty about a week ago. Been there 10 years, and I talked to the men the other day. That house that we first bought, old farmhouse, big old porch, that's an old house. That we first bought, we made it the church. And there's still a pulpit area in my boy's room where the old pulpit was. And the church, we talked the other day, and I got to talking, and they said, "Preacher," they said, "what you going to do for the rest of your life?" I said, "I'm going to stay here. What do you think I'm going to do?" And they said, "Well, you told us that, preacher, when you came. I reckon after 10 years you're going to stay, ain't you?" I said, "I am." And they said, "Brother Jim," they said, "we're going to have that church paid off in 2.5 years. They said, "The church is going to give you that house." So they deeded the house to me. And I don't deserve it. Getting up there screaming at them. Being mean to them, yelling at them. Wishing some of them would die. But it ain't my house. It still ain't mine. It's not for me. Even though they gave it to me in case something happens, I get to the place where I get sick, can't preach no more, they're going to take care of me. If I go home before my wife does, they're going to let her live there for the rest of her life. It's hers. Me and my wife die, my boy gets it. Boy, they're good to me. But it still ain't mine. It's not for me. It's for the Lord. You see, this old body of mine is dying, getting old, getting sore. Boy, last night I about busted my hip again, jumped off this thing like a fool. Oh, man, that thing had cocked bad. You know, when I went home, I'm pretty tough around church. But when I get home with Mama, all that toughness stops, amen? I want to be a little baby then, amen? Someone said, "Need to slow down, Lentz." Well, I might. Last October, I preached 29 days in a row down, just preaching and preaching. Someone said, "You better stop, preacher. Better slow down." Yeah, but the Lord's coming. And if the Lord wants us to slow down, we'll slow down. But until then, this body's not for me. I wasted this body for 25 years. I ruined it for 25 years. And God gave me a new start. Amen. And He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy, acceptable." It's reasonable service. It's very reasonable to give my body to God. Now the work's great. And you're going to need some help. But only the Lord can build a life. Only the Lord can build a home. Only the Lord can build a church. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can't build your life without God. You can't build your home without God. And you can't build a church without the Lord doing it. You got to be willing to wait and let God do it. Don't you be trying to... Preachers, get your hands off the wheel of the church. Stop being a dictator. Just don't let anybody else dictate. I had me a deacon one time. He done flew the coop. He had a problem with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He said to me, "I got this big old boy in my church, my song leader." He said to me, he didn't like him because he had... This old boy got... He was saved as a Catholic at 21. He got married to a Baptist girl. She run off with the preacher. 3 months after he got saved, he stayed in church. We found him street preaching. He came and asked us what we were doing. We said, we're calling you home is what we're doing. He'd been with us ever since. Amen. Strange, boy. And this deacon said to me, he said, preacher, that person changed that voice when they get up. You can always tell they're phony. They talk to you like common folks that get up there and they think they're somebody. It ain't big me and little you, it's us. He said, I'm going to have you know something. I said, yeah, what's that, brother? He said, you know that Kelly Benson? I said, fine man. He said, yeah, he's all right. He said, you know he's been married twice. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, well, as far as I want you to know, he'll never preach in this church. I got half of Cain's blood and half of Abel's. I got one eye on killing you and one on heaven. And I got German or Austrian and Irish blood running through my veins. I hate the Mick in me, but I love the crowd. I said, I appreciate that. God bless you. He went. Put his arm around his little wife to go. I walked out the parking lot and I said, hey, Brother Kelly, come down here, would you? Yes, preacher. He's about that tall. He went to Freedom, and James Worthy, you know him, played for the Lakers. He went to Hunter Huss. Well, he was the power forward. Kelly was a power forward. Well, Kelly, I said, how did you do against James Worthy in high school? He said, well, we only played him twice. He said, but one time he scored 44 points on me. I said, he took you to school. He said, yeah, but I scored 28 on him. I watched that man split wood for me one time with a 12-pound maul for an hour straight without stopping. I was loading the logs, the split logs up there. Whoom, 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 switch hand, whoom. I said, have you ever preached here, Kelly? No, preacher, I ain't ever done it. I said, you go home today between service, you get you something, and you come back and let us have it. You know, I ain't seen old big Don Burton ever since. He done took off like a cat with coil on his tail. He ain't been back since, amen. God uses who he wants to use. Building a life is a great work to do. Building a family is a great work. Building a church is a great thing to do for Jesus Christ. There's no greater work on this earth than to be able to do something eternally for God. You'll notice in verse 2 of 29, it's going to take some work. He said he prepared with all of his might. So he went to a lot of trouble to get these things that were needed to build this house for God. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to get bulldog determined to build something for God. You're going to have your affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth to get it done. And by doing that, by preparing all those things, David proved that his affections were for his great God. I believe this, that before every saint, it's either to serve God with all your heart or fall into sin. It won't be long if your heart ain't right with God. If you're not serving Him with a willing heart and with all your heart, it won't be long before you back off to preaching. It won't be long before you creep out between the services over. It won't be long. You'll be back out there. I can think of no greater thing upon this earth than to be able to do something for God Almighty. It's not enough to say, I love the Lord. It's not enough. Amen. Build a life! Amen. Don't tell me how much you love God. Straighten out your house. Mama's sleeping on one couch and you on the other. She's got one checkbook, you got another. She takes one vacation, you take another. She's got one set of friends, you take another. That ain't no marriage. Straighten it out. Kids running everything. Everything in the home run by a switch except for the youngins. No! Straighten it out! My boy's 6'4" and about 180 some pounds. And if he does wrong, I'm going to bust his hide with a belt. A couple little while ago, I said, "You don't talk to your mama like that, boy." "Well, you know, Daddy, I just, he was just a what?" "Well, you know, Dad, I was just a playing." "Get your butt in your room." I said, "Before you go, you stop in my closet and you get that big old gray, or that big old blind cowboy belt, too." He said, "For what?" I said, "For your hind end." I watched him go over there and grab that belt and walk in that room. I gave him about 10 minutes. "Say, why? Was you getting up courage?" "I don't need no courage." I got in there, I said, "Give me the belt." I doubled that thing up. I said, "Lay over the bed." He said, "This is ridiculous." I said, "Lay over the bed." "Dad, I'm 14. "You ain't gonna make 15. Lay over the bed." "Dad, you're embarrassing me." "No, I'm fixing to beat the hell out of you." That's what was in him. That's what was in him. That's what was in him. What do you call it? Hades? Sheol? I'm going to beat the Sheol out of you. You're full of Sheol. I'm from Carolina. We straight talk, Brother Ingram. He laid over that bed. I said, "Put those hands out." I took that belt, man. I could see him tightening up. I could see those tightening up. So I caught him right about there. That made that loosen up real quick. He went, "Stop! Oh, stop! Not yet. Oh, that's enough! I'm sorry! All right, we'll stop." See, it's like a dog, a child. "Hey, hey, hey, I'm not being mean. It's like a horse. You don't break a horse's spirit or a child's spirit. You break their will." And I was willing to stay there all day until he said, "That's enough, I'm sorry." If he didn't say he was sorry, we'd still be there. You know how youngins are, though, you know, getting spunky. I'll see him say something to my wife in the kitchen, and he'll look at me. I look at him. "I didn't say nothing, Dad." "Make sure you don't, boy." Amen. You'll notice it's not enough to say, "I love the Lord, build your life." It's not enough to say, "I love the Lord, build your temple, your home." It's not enough to say, "I love the Lord, build your church." You'll notice in verse 3, David got in on the work. And then in verse 5, David thought it was such a great work, he said, "Hey man, I'm going to give everything I got to that work, see what God can do." Hey, have you ever seen a real Christian? I mean a real good one. And you said in your heart, "I would like to be like them." You ever seen a real good Christian man, gentlemen? And you said, "Man, I'd like to be like that guy." Ladies, you ever see a good Christian woman? I mean, she may be as ugly as... she could eat an apple through a picket fence. She's so homely. But something about her, God's there, and it's just radiating off her. And you ladies say, "Boy, she's getting old. She got that... But boy, I'd love to be like that girl." Have you ever went to someone's house and it was just calm and God was there? You went in there and your house was a mess and you've been fighting with mama coming over, you know. And you go there and you say, you sit down and you say, "Boy, I wish our house was like this." And the kids ain't fussing and the kids ain't fighting and you just had trouble in your home and the little boy gets up next to his daddy and hugs him, or the little girl gets up next, sits on his daddy's lap and gives him a little kiss and he's rubbing her hair, and at your house it's just frustration and troubles. And you say, "Boy, I wish I had something like that. Since you've been here, have you said, boy, I wish my church was like this. Boy, I wish I could get my people to shout. I had a preacher come one time. I don't have him come no more. He said to me, he said, Brother Jim, how do you get these people to shout like that? I said, I never tried. I said, was I supposed to try to get them to shout, brother? I probably could have learned that in the Man of God program, but I didn't come. I never tried to get no one to shout. I don't try to get our singers to shout. I don't try to get our people to shout. If they want to shout, let them shout. Let God do something. Well, watch now. How can we do this? Well, look at in verse 1, 29 and 1. First, you got to do it with all your might. If you're going to build your life for God, can't fool around with it. Can't have no tomfoolery. You got to get rid of that foolishness. You got to do it with all your might. You got to prepare with all your might. Look down in verse 2, with all your might. And then look down in verse 3, you got to do it with all your money. Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver. Over and above all that I have prepared for the house of God, it's going to cost you something to serve God. Amen. You can't outgive God. I came back from Romania. Been there twice and going back. But I came back last year. These films or this video, you know, where we went over there and preached and went to these places and showed them that they had about 50, 60 people meeting in this little room. Oh, maybe not. Oh, it was just small. Maybe as big as this pulpit area. That's all. About 50, 60 people. It's crowded. No heat. Sit there for 2 and 3 hours and listen to us preach. And I told our folks, I said, hey, in Sunday school, I said, for $5,000, for $5,000, we can buy the land and build a church 40 by 60. And they'll put hand-carved pews and everything in there for $5,000. American money. And we showed a little video for Sunday school. And then we quit and I went into my office. We had about 15 minutes. And I had a fellow come into my office. He's not a rich man. He's just a country boy. He's just a country boy. And he come in there and he was weeping and wailing. He said, preacher, I got to talk to you about something. I said, wait till I'm done preaching. He said, oh, Cain, I got to talk right now. I thought, oh, he's going to leave the church. Who's going to give the announcements now? I said, all right, sit down. I said, close the door. So I sit down and close the door. I said, what's wrong? He's weeping and wailing. I said, what is wrong? He said, I've been rat-holing some money, preacher. I said, yeah. I said, how much you been rat-holing?
He said, I got about $1,000.
I said, yeah, what are you going to do with it? They got that checkbook. Bridgeport Baptist Church. $5,000. We're building right now 3 of them in Romania out of about 80 people. Country folk working mills. He did it with all of his money. And you know what? You know what happened to this old boy? He had lived in an old house on the bottom of South Mountain. And he had to drive across the mountain to get to us. And one time he went off the side of the mountain because it got so bad. And you know what God did? God had a lost man that he worked for buy him 2 acres about 2 miles from our church. Amen. A raven came down and bought him 2 acres of land. Yeah. And God provided money enough to build a house about 3,500 square foot from the land he sold on the other side of the mountain that looked crummier than what he's got now. Old Mac Hodge, old preacher of years ago up in Burke County. He was up on top of Flat Gap or Mineral Springs. And is it AB's Chapel? Abe's Chapel, old revivals up there. And he lived down on the Boss Johnson Road, which you have to come down Mineral Springs and come down through Valdez and cut back across Black Bottom and go down to Boss Johnson to go home down by the Catawba River. And back in 1950, he was up there preaching. Quite a preacher, you know. And he was one of those type of preachers, you know, that was just used by God, but he was kind of like poor, you know, back in the 50s. And what he did is he had some holes in the bottom of his boots. And so every Sunday he'd get up there and he'd sit up there like this. Now these are new. I ain't got no holes in mine. I'm not a paper boy. I didn't come to get a collection. And for about 2 months he'd sit there and no one did nothing. So finally an old farmer came up to him after services, had his old bibs on, his old pointers on. And he came up to the preacher, shook his hand at the back door, and he said, "Preacher." He said, "Yes, brother." He said, "God told me to give you this." 1950, took that money down in his pocket. He said, "You just take that, preacher. That's for you. You do whatever you want with it." He said, "I seen that hole in your boot. Maybe this will get you some boots." And old Max said, "Glory to God." So they got in that old car. He got his three youngins in the car. And they was riding down the road, coming down Mineral Springs there, coming down there through valleys and over to Black Bottom and to the Boss Johnson Road and coming back down towards the Catawba River. And he's coming down there and she said, "Honey," he said, "guess what?" She said, "What?" He said, "God supplied our need." He reached down in that pocket and he pulled it out. He didn't know what it was. And he opened it up. It was $100 bill. Now in 1950, in North Carolina, Burke County, $100 bill was rare. As a matter of fact, in 1996, in Burke County, $100 is rare. And his wife said, "Glory to God." She said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to buy me a pair of boots. And I'm going to buy you a new pair of shoes, honey. And I'm going to buy you a pair of shoes." And he said, "We're all going to get some new shoes. God has supplied." And he was driving down Mineral Springs. It's pretty steep and come down through valleys and went off the Boss Johnson Road. And just before he got down to Boss Johnson, there's Black Bottom. Well, the old Zion AME was getting out down there. And what happened was this old black lady walking down the road. She had about 10 or 15 little pickaninnies around her, you know. And they was walking down the road back from church, you know. And he was driving down the road, and he looked at her, you know, waved at her, and she waved at him. She knew who he was. And he went down the road, and the Lord said, "Max, stop this vehicle." So Max stopped the vehicle. He said, "What do you want, Lord?" And he said, "Look in your rearview mirror." He looked in his rearview mirror. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see that black woman with about 10 little pickaninnies, and they're coming from church." He said, "Back her up." He said, "For what?" He said, "Back her up." So he said, "All right, Lord." He thought maybe we have to squeeze him in, take him home. Maybe she's ill. So he dropped back there and he rolled down to her. She's a smiling. He says, "Hi, preacher." He said, "Hello, ma'am." And he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to take that $100 bill and give it to that woman." He said, "Hey, Lord, what about the hole in my shoe? I done told you." He said, "Take the $100 and give it to that woman." He said, "Lord, I ain't going to do it." He pulled that thing down in first gear and took off, and that car died. The Lord said, "Give her that $100 bill. She come up, she said, "Can I help you, preacher?" He said, "No, but I can help you." Cheerful giver. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grudge if you have to, amen. He took the $100 bill, he gave it to her. She said, my Lord, I can't. She started shouting and praising God and doing a little dance. She showed all those little pickaninnies, and they started dancing and jumping. And Mac turned that key, whoop, started right up. She was praising God and hallelujah, and all the little kids were jumping around. And Mac took that thing and dumped that clutch and drove down the road. And God said, "Hey, Mac." He said, "What?" He said, "Look in the rearview mirror." And there she was out in the middle of the street praising God. He said, "Now what?" He said, "If you would have acted like that when I gave you that $100, I'd have let you keep it, amen." Yeah! Yeah, yeah! Well, he did it with all of his might, with all of his money. Verses 4 through 6, 9, all the people got involved, all the members got involved. But the real reason to build your life, real reason to build your home, real reason to build your church is the same reason they built this this temple here. We find that in verse 11. And that's for all His majesty. Here's why we build our lives. Thine own Lord is the greatness. Here's why we build our homes and the power. Here's why we build a church and the glory. Here's why we do it and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as heaven above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. David got to the place where he got excited about serving God. Verse 9, he said, the people rejoiced and they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David, the king, also rejoiced with great joy. It excites me to know that God's still doing some renovations on this old house. It excites me to hear that I'm the rear guard. How's the FO in the core? How's out in the front? But boy, it's real important to be in the back. I appreciate that. It excites me to know about all this electricity and about my God is letting this other God run this thing until He comes back and sets one foot upon the Mount of Olives, one foot in the Mediterranean Sea, and splits this baby down the middle. Excites me. It excites me to know that God's still doing some things in my own house. And then it excites me to know that God's still building local churches, still calling men out of local churches, still has this Bible Institute open, and men are still being called, even though everybody says that it's down the drain. The only reason they think it is because they've already got shot out to the septic tank. And the grass always grows greener over the septic tank. David was saying in verse 12, he said, both riches and honor come of thee. See, it ain't our good works. It ain't our talents that you have what you have. If you got a nice place, it was God that gave it to you. You got a good, healthy body, so I work out. No, it's God that's preserving you. If you got a good home, you didn't do it. It's God that did it. If you got a good church, it ain't you. It ain't programs. It's God Almighty that's done it. And He said, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But look at the next verse. Who am I? Look at it. But who am I? Who am I, O vagabond? Who am I, O hobo? Who am I that this poor man cried and the Lord heard me and delivered me out of my troubles? Who am I that the king should come by Brother Beaver and pick up this beggar? Who am I that he should let me change my ragged clothes for a robe of His righteousness? Who am I that God would let get in on what He's in on? Who am I that one day when we go to heaven in the rapture and get cleansed and come back with Him riding the horses and then reign with Him for 1,000 years, then when the increase of His government shall never end, and then when God the Father goes back into God the Son, and God the Son goes back into the Holy Ghost, and they all go back into God, and I'm in Christ, and who am I that I should be involved in that? And who am I, an old heroin addict, that I should have a good wife? I don't have to worry about running around on me. Who am I that I have a boy that loves God? Who am I that God would take and put in the back hills of North Carolina and give me folks like this to sing the songs of Zion every week? Amen. And let us win people to Jesus Christ and be a burr for Jesus? Who am I that God would let me get involved on that? I believe the reason He lets us do it is because we're willing. He likes us. Where would you be if it wasn't for Jesus? I mean, if he took everything away, it was worth the trip. Is it too much? Is it too much? Is it too much to ask you tonight to build your life for Christ? Is that too much? Is it too much, Mom and Daddy, to get together and love each other and raise those youngins for God? Is that too much to ask? Church, is it too much to go to your brother that you've offended or that you've been talking about and say, I sinned against your brother? Forgive me, I'm sorry, I'm wicked, it was wrong. Is that too much that God might be able to get the majesty and the glory of that church? Is that too much to ask us tonight? No, it's not too much. Because he was willing, God took a little shepherd boy, took him off the back hill of a Judean hill, raising up sheep of the house of Jesse, and made him the greatest king of Israel. A rags to riches story. God took a nobody, just a nobody, and let him get in. Let him get in on what he's doing. Brother Danny, God took two nobodies. Brother Beaver, God found an old white liquor runner making white liquor with a Gideon Bible in his pocket. And on the way out, he got tired because the gallons was too heavy and sat down and turned from page to page and left the gallons there and came out. Who am I? Is it too much to ask tonight? You're noticing I'm done. Verses 15 through 19, we'll not read it all. David prayed for his son. And he said, son, it's a great work. But this great work we're doing is for a great God. It's going to be a hard work, boy. But if you'll do what God says, and if you'll be willing, and if you'll serve him with a perfect heart, he said, the Lord will not forsake thee, and he'll be with you until you finish the work. And then in verse 20, look at this, and I am done. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. Yeah. Isn't that something? David standing up in front of all Israel. He just told his boy what God would do with him. And they're all sitting there just like us. And he said, all right, if you're willing, and if your heart's right, bless the Lord your God. Watch. And all the congregation, wasn't there one that didn't, blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. The greatest form of worship is giving. When is the last time you worshiped God? When is the last time God said, if you're willing, I'll build your life? When's the last time God said, hey, your home's a little cattywampus for you Yankees, cockeyed? When's the last time God said, hey, that church you're trying to control, if you'd let me have it, I'd bless it and I'd let it blossom where I planted it? When's the last time you said, who am I that I should be in on just this meeting tonight, much less the riches of his grace? There's something mighty sweet about my Lord. Oh, there's something mighty sweet about my Lord. And no matter what people say, child, I'm going to serve Jesus any old way. Because there's something mighty sweet. And if he ain't sweet to you, you need to come and bow your head. and worship the Lord and say, Lord, who am I? And with all your might and with all your money and with all his majesty, you need to come forward tonight and say, Lord, I'll build my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll back my husband wherever he wants to go. I'll get involved. Lord, we'll get our house straightened out tonight. Husband and wife will come and say, Lord, we're stopping that foolishness now. We're going to get all that filth out of that home. We're going to live for God. Amen. And then I'm going to get behind my preacher. I'm going to back Brother Ruckman and Brother Donovan, and I'm going to go on, and we're going to do something for God that he'll get the glory and the majesty and the honor of all things for. It's up to you. You should bow your heads for a minute. If I could ask Brother Beaver to come real quickly and sing, there's nothing left when you leave God out. And if God spoke to you tonight, don't you wait. He likes you. He likes you. Don't you wait. He likes you. He likes you. Don't you wait. Come. Come. Be willing. Be willing. Be willing. And let God get the glory. You listen. And if God came, you come. When they're done, the preacher will have the service.
You may spend your time living here in sin, far away from God with no hope within. God is never mocked, sin will find.
Let's all stand, folks. Let's stand, your head bowed. Keep on praying. Now, maybe somebody here tonight, you're not saved. You ought to come and join these here at the altar. Most of these are Christians here. Is anybody here at the altar who's not saved? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here at the altar who's not saved but would like to be saved? Would you raise your hand? I guess these are all saints here tonight. If you're not saved, come on and join us. Will you step out and join us? Humble yourself. Humble yourself on the mighty hand of God. There ain't nobody down here but a bunch of sinners. They want to get things right with God. You ought to join them. You're unsaved. You ought to be right down here in your face with them. Will you come? Will you come? Anywhere in the building. Unsaved man or woman, boy or girl, will you come right now while they're singing? Come down. Come down. Come down. Come on down while they're singing. Come on down. Paul had to get knocked off his horse. They had to come down to David and the king. Come on down. Anybody here at the front need any help, raise a hand. If you want any help, raise your hand. Let Brother Donovan come have a word of counsel with you, prayer with you. If you don't want any help, no, he's going to bother you. We're not going to interfere with your personal life, something between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to bother you. If you want any help, raise your hand. Anywhere down here tonight. If you want any help, raise your hand. We're going to close here in a minute. If you're not saved, God help you. If you go out here after hearing this stuff, God have mercy on your soul, man. You may never get another chance. You certainly won't get another chance like this. Come on down now. I'm not asking you to join the church. I was trying to get you wet, get your membership. I want you to come and receive Jesus Christ. Come on, you come and wait a couple of minutes more. We're going to close. Come on. Anybody in the building, whosoever will, let him come. Eleazar, type of the Holy Spirit, said to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will. It's in the will. You will accept him or you will not. If you will, come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. Go ahead, brother. Anybody else? Wilt thou go with this man? I will. If you will, come on. Thank you, thank you. All right, let's look this way. Before we close, I think we ought to sing about two stanzas of The Cleansing Wave, page 227 of the hymnal. And the invitation is still open. The invitation is still open, 227. The invitation is still open. I feel there's somebody here that's bound to be in a crowd this size. You haven't done it yet. You haven't made the first step yet. You're not at Calvary yet. You're not safe yet. And now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I just saw a fellow bring a fellow with him down there that went back to pray. I'm pretty sure the fellow's getting saved. But there probably ought to be some more that ought to come. Let's sing 227. Whether you're saved or not, this will apply to you. This is the mean. Let's sing out loud. Now sing out loud, folks. Oh, now I see. Oh, now I see the cleansing way. Brother Lynn's talking about who am I, you know, and he points to Brother Beaver down here, and he points to himself, and not long in there, I feel like raised my hand. I'm sorry. I think, me too, me too, me too, me too. Boy, if you think I always wore nice clothes, not a big house, boy, have you got me wrong. When God saved me, I was here in Pensacola out in the street drinking myself to death, playing the hillbilly dance bands. Playing drums and bass fiddle. Family, had no family then. Two suits of clothes, headed for a rescue mission or a jail or a hell. Great to be saved, brother. If you're not saved, you ought to come. You ought to come now. All right, second stanza. I rise to walk. I rise to walk. You want to say something, brother?
I've never really made a public confession about Jesus Christ, my Savior. I just thank him from what he got me out of and what he's done for me. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That may be somebody else here that'll do that. Maybe I got a secret disciple here somewhere. I'm facing hundreds of faces, and I don't know y'all and can't see y'all. But are you hiding back there somewhere? You back there, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus? You come by night, you know, and then try to slip out when it catch you? Have you ever publicly and openly confessed Jesus Christ your Savior? Yes, sir, brother. Yeah.
And Lord saved me about 5 years
ago,
and I
want to
take the opportunity to say, I love you, Lord!
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, amen, brother.
Well,
amen, brother.
Well,
I'm glad, brother. Amen. Hey, well, same to you, man.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, man. Well, I'm so glad my life hasn't been useless. Now we're going to see one more stand. We're going to close. Last stand. Now, if you're here tonight and you've been saved, maybe you did it in the... Oh, you can save anywhere. I've met guys who got saved in the bathroom kneeling on the commode. Kneeling by the commode. That's a good place to get saved. It's all humus, all going down the drain anyway, one way or another, you know. Maybe you got saved in a car. Maybe you got saved in a hospital. Maybe you got saved out in the road, your living room. You've never made an open public profession. You come while we stand, just stand up, turn around these people and tell them what you did. Well, let's sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Would be seated. Now a little girl came to me, Brother Cagle, little girl, and she said, the next time you give out some envelopes, would you let me give them out? So where is she? Where's Cagle? Little red-headed girl. Where's she at? Is she here tonight? Come on, honey. This first envelope goes to Brother Ingram. Brother Ingram's right over there. She'll bring it to you, brother. She'll bring it to you. Right over there, honey, fella, stand it up. And this one here is for Brother Lentz. He's sitting on the end of that second row. That one right there. That fella right next to him is Brother Modlish. Well, now each one of these envelopes is $2,769. I sure wish I'd get called to preach here. I don't resent a dime of it, man. Not a dime of it. Not a dime of it. And tomorrow we'll take care of the expenses. Tomorrow, regular church office will take care of the car and the plane and food and all that kind of stuff there. And I'm sure they can use the money, and I'm sure they're not going to waste it. That's the main thing, and knowing the character of the people you give it to, what they're going to do with it. And they're not going to throw it around. I know them real well. A special prayer request. David Gibbs had a bad motorcycle wreck, broke his ribs, punctured both lungs. They collapsed. His 7th and 8th discs were crushed. He is paralyzed, the chest down. This happened Wednesday night. Today his lungs reinflated. David Gibbs, where is he at? Is there somebody here in town? Somebody left him this note.
He's over here at West Florida Medical Center. And I went and saw him today. And got to read some scripture to him. He is saved. And he is alert. He's doing a little bit better, but he needs prayer. Life's over.
Oh, that David Gibbs, a young man. I guess he's a pretty young fella, isn't he?
He's about
33. All right, and now after you, I don't know how many you have to go now and can't be with us tomorrow, but whether you go tonight or tomorrow, from time to time, try to remember Brother Wilson in Tennessee. Now I know there are people all over the world going through these things, and the longer the Lord tarries, the worse it's going to get. These hospital beds are just filled with people going through all kinds of things, and I know you have special prayer requests. They're just important to you as these are to us. But I would put Brother Wilson on your heart because, number one, he's not just another Christian. That fellow's a saved pastor that believes the book and is very effectual in preaching, a very good teacher, a good soul winner, lives a clean life, got his wife in subjection, and his kids love the Lord and they're witnesses. Fine, one of the best in the country. So don't forget him. All right, now we're going to have an ordination service here in a while. We'll give you time to... A little time to relax between, and if you have to go, feel free to go. We won't think you're backslidden if you don't stay for another service. You know, you ran out the door or anything, so don't worry about it. If you have to go, go. But we got some service coming up tomorrow, and tomorrow morning, don't forget, I want the second and third year students taking local church to meet with Brother Modlish up here in the second story of the building over yonder during the Sunday school hour. Question? Yes, sir? Upstairs. What did I say? Did I say second floor? That's upstairs, isn't it? Okay. Some of you fellows want to play basketball. The gym's open to basketball. Anybody want to play basketball and get over there? Brother Cagle? All right, will somebody volunteer to help Brother Cake? We need one man helping Mara. Volunteer? All right, young girl right down here. All right, thank you. Yes, sir.
7th grade on up to 12th grade will meet down here tomorrow
for Sunday. All right, for Sunday school tomorrow, 7th through 12th grade will meet here in the adult class tomorrow. All right, let's stand and be dismissed, and we'll have this. The ordination of service will start in about 10 minutes, or give a little time to clear the building for those who have to go. And then we're going to ordain Brother Hyatt. Where is he at? All right, come on down here if you would, Brother. Brother Hyatt's been working with Brother Bevan the Welder in Beeville for a good while, and has thoroughly proved himself as a soul winner and a witness. And is equipped to preach. And this is a gentleman here we're going to ordain, a little fella, short fella here, we're going to ordain the ministry. All right, we'll just take a break here. We'll meet back at 9:30, about 9:32 for the ordination committee. Lord bless you and good night.